This is an I Am Listening podcast.
I was cross. I did say to her, do you realise that they've lost their funding? Because we need them.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello and welcome to today's Kent Politics Podcast. I'm Nikki White, Senior News Editor with the KM Media Group, with your weekly roundup of what's been going on in the council. As journalists, we are bombarded with press releases from PR companies that essentially promote a business or product disguised as a news item. Sometimes it's an insurance firm that has carried out a survey and found that Kent features highly in its list of results. The idea is that you follow up the story and plug the company that commissioned the study. Admittedly, many of them we bin. But one came in the other day from the Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents, or ROSPA, which really caught our eye. ROSPA is an influential charity and powerful lobbying voice, and it studied official data showing Kent has the highest number of accidental deaths in the country. The county, that is Kent and the Unitary Authority area of Medway, had 624 accidental deaths for the 2023 study period, which is about 3% of the total. The first question you will ask is what constitutes an accidental death? The most common causes are falls, poisoning, which includes drug overdoses, both deliberate or not, road traffic collisions, choking, or exposure to fire and smoke. Now, Conservative Kent County Council member Sarah Hudson has asked the authority to review these findings to see if anything can be learned and if measures can be taken to prevent deaths or better understand why the results are as they are. It also has to be said that while Kent's number of deaths in this way is high, the concentration of fatalities per 100,000 people, that's at 30 per 100,000, is significantly lower than other parts of the UK, such as Wales with 44 and Northern Ireland with 32. Councillor Hudson wonders if enough is being done to protect the most vulnerable, such as the elderly or those feeling suicidal. ROSPA, whose patron is the king, found a national 8% rise in the number of accidental deaths, with sharp increases in falls at 12%, accidental poisonings, which was 10%, and injuries caused by objects, such as being struck or crushed by machinery, at 13%. The charity argues that many deaths are preventable or avoidable, but says that high mortality rates can link to deprivation, age, and unsafe environments. Accidents cost the NHS 5.2 million bed days and £6 billion to the economy through lost working days. The ROSPA CEO, Becky Hickman, said that accidents cause devastation in an instant and leave families to cope with the consequences. It was interesting stuff and certainly food for thought. How can we each make things safer in our lives or those of others? And what should KCC do to achieve the same? Since the Labour government took power in 2024, they have been at pains to increase the rate of house building, promising 1.5 million homes by the end of this parliament. In practice, this meant that the system for calculating local housing targets got a massive shake-up, meaning that for many councils, their targets went up significantly. Sevenoaks District in Leafy West Kent has found itself on the business end of these reforms, with its yearly housing target increased by 63%. The district is more than 90% metropolitan greenbelt, where it's usually harder to get planning permission. But as part of the drive to build more homes, councils have been instructed to begin identifying greybelt land. That's areas which are technically greenbelt, but have either previously been developed or don't serve the purpose of the greenbelt properly. Sevenoaks has been in this process, and the first major bid for homes of the newly defined greybelt has come forward. Hallam Land Management has asked Sevenoaks District Council for outline planning permission for an estate of 300 homes in New Ash Green, itself a village that was only built in the late 1960s. The developers want to build two separate neighbourhoods on close but separate tracts of land at the edge of the village covering 41 acres. Much of the land is currently used for horse paddocks, and objections have already started trickling into the planning portal since it was submitted. Sevenoaks Council has set a deadline of July the 9th, by which time they will have to decide on whether to approve the application or not. The MP for Sittingbourne and Sheppey has led a debate in the House of Commons this week about the wreck of the SS Richard Montgomery. Kevin McKenna told his parliamentary colleagues that he wants to see one of the Monty masts gifted to the island, as they are more than just wreckage, but a powerful local landmark and part of people's shared history. The American munitions ship sank off Sheerness in 1944 and has been a source of national attention ever since. It has been on the seabed filled with 7,000 tonnes of ammunition for more than 80 years and is regularly checked to make sure it's safe. However, the iconic masts that can be seen sticking out of the water are putting strain on the hull and are due to be removed. Mr. McKenna would like to see one of the masts stay in Sheppey and is asking the United States, which still owns the ship, to let us have one. He started a petition to try to persuade them, and here he explains why.
Currently, the masts are the responsibility of the United Kingdom government. There was an Act of Parliament in 1973, largely pulled together for the Richard Montgomery so that we could take on what has been described as the most dangerous wreck in Britain. And while for decades the United Kingdom government has been responsible for making sure that the masts are safe and that shipping transits around them safely, as soon as anything comes off the wreck, it reverts to its original owners, which is the United States government. So actually, although I know that people locally would like the masts, I'm sure that the United Kingdom government would be very happy for the masts to come to Sheppey and to Southend, we are going to have to ask the United States government for one of the masts. I mean, there are three masts. Southend could have one, Sheppey could. Maybe one of them could go into Donald Trump's ballroom that he's building at the moment. They'd look great if they were covered in gold leaf. But beyond that, I think actually it does mean that we've got to engage in a little bit of a diplomatic discussion, I'm sure, with our American allies. What I would say is, of course, it's a massive testament to the partnerships that we've had during the Second World War with our American friends, but also since then in NATO. It's a way of bringing that story to life to people. I would also say that obviously this is something that we could use to bring people together in the same way as it would bring people in Southend and Sheppey together and can tell the story. It helps to reignite those, well, hopefully not literally in this case, that would be terrible, but you know, reignite those bonds that we've got with our American allies. So I've got a few questions for the Minister. I mean, some of them have been raised by my constituents. Recently, a no-fly zone has been extended around the wreck of the Montgomery, including bans on drones. I've got several constituents would like to know why and what's changed in those instances, and is that reflective of any additional concern about the explosive nature of the cargo on the Montgomery? Also, I think people would love to know in a bit more details what it would involve and what we need to do to ask the Americans to have the masts, and just to check that the government is still believes that actually the masts should be retained in the United Kingdom. I'd also like, and just some sort of general evaluation of the government's ideas about the timeline for the removal of the masts and what that would involve. Going beyond that, I think that this is such a, it's actually quite a romantic story in its way. I think shipwrecks have always got a degree of romance to them. It's got that added frisson of an incredible amount of explosives, which does add, as my honourable friend said, a little bit of fear. But also, it really speaks to me about how these stories get embedded in communities, even over a few decades. And the people of Sheppey really care. I'm carrying it. I've got a petition running at the moment. Hopefully there's a petition in Southend as well. I would really encourage anyone to sign that petition so that we can show the strength of feeling and this real desire to return, well, actually, they've never been on land, but to finally bring the masts of the Richard Montgomery home to the United Kingdom, home to Sheppey, home to Southend.
The Minister for Transport said the future of the masts depends on their condition once they're removed, and any decision must be taken with the US Maritime Administration.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
In Medway, a charity has started a fundraising campaign after having its support from the council cut. Who Cares, which provides transport support and community events to tackle loneliness and isolation on the Hoo Peninsula, has received funding from Medway Council since it was first launched in 2015. But in the middle of last year, the authority told them it would be ending the funding, which is between £80,000 and £100,000 per year. We spoke with Janet, who uses the service, who said the area couldn't lose it.
Well, I went to Who Cares because I was doing caring for someone that's got dementia, and I wasn't getting very much help from that place where he was diagnosed. So I went down there and I felt like a ton weight had been lifted off my shoulders. I was just in tears when I came away from there because I really felt as though I had the backup of, and I've had backup of Who Cares ever since. They've been absolutely brilliant. And so have loads of other people had the backup as well. It's not just, You know, and it's not just elderly people, it's disabled people, people with learning difficulties and things like that. They all need this backup. We can't lose. Who cares? We can't lose them.
How do they make you feel that potentially the services that you've become reliant on could disappear?
It can't happen. No. We can't let it happen. I mean, I spoke to social services the other day and she said, oh, go to Who Cares? They'll do it for you. Yeah. Social services are referring us to Who Cares. They get all the funding they need. They don't, obviously don't care about us, do they?
How did it make you feel?
I was cross. I did say to her, do you realise that they've lost their funding? Because we need them. We all need them. We live right out in the sticks. We've got nothing. The buses are not negligible. The help that we get with these people, I mean, they fill forms in for us. They get things that we need to help us live a better life. And I can't fault them. I cannot fault anything they do. Anything at all. They take you out. They, I mean, we all go and buy our own meals and things like that, but there's just people mixing with other people, having company. A lot of people have not got anybody at all to do things for them.
That's my last question would be, because obviously I know it is quite a rural part of what is an urban area. I mean, like Who Cares is like nowhere else in this kind of part of Kent. And do you kind of feel isolated without Who Cares? Because obviously it's rural communities, not a lot of services. The bus services aren't particularly great. There aren't loads of shops and stuff.
They're always there. They are always there. You've got a hospital appointment, or you've got to get to the doctors, or you need, even if you want to pick your medication up and something like that, anything like that, they are always there. They're brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Who Cares had been working towards a different funding model through a partnership with Peninsula Care Limited, a private company which provides domiciliary and dementia respite care. The profits from Peninsula Care would be used to fund the service from Who Cares, but unfortunately, errors on the part of the Care Quality Commission had delayed Peninsula Care getting its accreditation. These issues have now been resolved, and accreditation is expected in the next 2 months, but the fundraiser is needed to bridge the gap until then. Operations manager Barry Andrews was clear the fundraiser is not supposed to provide long-term funding, but just until the plans for Who Cares to become self-sustainable are in place. He said he understood the financial difficulties facing Medway Council, but that it was disappointing that they hadn't considered an option where the funding could continue. That would mean there wasn't this risk of Who Cares having to severely cut back services if the fundraiser isn't successful. A spokesman for Medway Council said it recognised and valued the important role all Medway's voluntary, community and faith sector organisations play in supporting the health and well-being of residents. They also pointed out that it had been a guarantor and funder of Who Cares since it began up until last year. The council said it had always been the intention for the organisation to become self-sufficient and it is not sustainable to make indefinite payments. A link to the fundraiser can be found in the article at Kent Online if you want to find out more. That's it for this week. Our bumper edition returns next week with some special guests. In the meantime, you can keep up to date with politics in Kent at Kent Online. You can also sign up to our politics briefing newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And don't miss KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.